broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
Typical teenager smoking pot.
I think that says a bad influence.
Definitely a sign of the times and disappointing both.
I like big butts. That is a threat.
World famous Phil Hendry show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, the news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about.
I like big butts.
Where we take it through the looking glass and beyond. We go places other talk shows can't go, wouldn't go, shouldn't go. Underline shouldn't. High schoolers riot in New York City after their bathroom privileges get taken away. Can you blame them? Boca Raton is under fire from a Christian group for not decorating with a manger scene. Plus, we'll tell you 10 careers with high rates of depression. Talk show host ain't in the group. Margaret Gray and Dr. Ron Tarner also join us. Our number 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. Affiliate Spotlight tonight on KNEW 910 AM, San Francisco. Great radio station, great city. Another great station, WHLO 640 AM, Akron, Ohio. Two great stations on the Phil Hendry Show Network and two stations that get it. Go to our website, philhendryshow.com. Pick up live streaming of the show right now on video. Video. You can watch me perform the show. And if you think you know what this show is about and you haven't been listening, trust me when I tell you, you don't. So head on over, get a backstage pass, and watch as well as listen to our show tonight. And also take advantage of thousands of hours archive material. We have our store opening up this weekend as well, which will be for the sale of our Best of Classic series. 877-876-PHIL. Margaret Gray joining us tonight from Santa Monica, California. She is the author of A Little Bird Told Me, which is a nationally syndicated news column. And you've been following this Elizabeth Edwards, John Edwards story, particularly Elizabeth Edwards and the passing of Elizabeth Edwards, was great, great interest, and you've done it very well, Margaret. Have they announced where and when her funeral will be?
Yes, they have, Phil. Elizabeth Edwards will be laid to rest. I believe it'll be at the Edmonton Street United Methodist Church in Raleigh, North Carolina. And I'm looking for the date. Forgive me, Phil. I think it is on Saturday. That will be tomorrow then, yes. Excuse me. I was looking at the UPI story, and I'm looking for them to burying it. There it is right the first line. So it is tomorrow, Phil. It will be in the Edmonton Street United Methodist Church in Raleigh, North Carolina. Elizabeth Edwards, 61 years of age.
Do we know who will be speaking?
We do. There will be tributes from her daughter. There will be a tribute from two very close friends of hers. The service will celebrate Elizabeth's life. Now, there is one omission here, and there's an awful lot of us who think it's a mistake, and that is that John Edwards is not going to be speaking.
That kind of makes sense, doesn't it?
No, it doesn't quite make sense, and I'll tell you why. If there was one thing that Elizabeth Edwards stood for, it was John Edwards' career. If there was one thing that Elizabeth Edwards, forgive me for saying this, Phil, if there was one thing that she would die for, it would be for John Edwards to become President of the United States. We know that's not what happened here. We know that Elizabeth Edwards was very sick. But I've just got to believe, and I think there are many who believe that Elizabeth Edwards would want John to lay the story out the best way that he can and finally answer the questions. What happened? That he is not going to be allowed to do that, I find that troubling.
You're going to have to define for me what lay the story out means, because this is,
Well, here's what I mean, Phil.
This is a funeral for a woman.
Here's what I mean. I understand that. I think that John Edwards, in the context, and, there's an old song called, believe it or not, In the Context, that I love you and you love me and we, and I don't know if you know the song, but in the context, I will be there, And so what the singer is saying when all is lost and everything is confusing and we don't even really know whether we like each other or not anymore, I'll still be there for you. And that's really what happened to John and Elizabeth Edwards. It was a terrible misunderstanding. And it was something...
Well, Barbara, let me interrupt you for a minute. What's the misunderstanding? What's the myth that he's not going to be speaking?
What happened to their marriage, I think it was communication breakdown.
Well, when you say a misunderstanding, it sounds like,
That you don't understand why I cheated on you? No, I'm not saying that.
Oh, yeah, because that's what it sounded like.
No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying the following thing. I'm saying Elizabeth Edwards was very sick. Elizabeth Edwards wanted John Edwards to be president of the United States. All of this other terrible entanglement was very sad. There's no question about it. Riel Hunter and the affair and the birth of this, the child that she had, confused things terribly. And what I am saying, and I think a lot of people agree with me, is that this is a great opportunity tomorrow, Phil, this funeral for this dear, dear woman. It's a great opportunity for John Edwards to clear the air, to talk about how the affair started, to talk about what happened, how did it get out of control, and certainly to clear the air about why he lied. Because, Phil, there's a bigger issue here.
Okay, but let me interrupt you. Our number, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. By the way, I have to remember to do something very technical here. And before you move on, our number, 877-876-PHIL, before you move on, you are talking about Elizabeth Edwards' funeral. So let's forget for just a minute, I'm not going to disagree with you about John Edwards speaking at the funeral. I personally would... if I was a member of the family, I would block him from being anywhere near it. But that's, you know...
No, Phil, you don't understand the issues involved.
I will give you that. I will grant you that. But this is her... This is a celebration of her life, you know?
Yes.
This is about her. This is about her family. This is about the people that loved her. This is about this brave woman. Regardless of our political point of view, there was so much that lady talked about that I didn't agree with, but I liked her. I got to like her because of the guts she had, you know?
Well, Phil, I'm not saying... I totally agree.
You know, this is her day, such as it is. It's a sad, sad occasion, but it's a memorial, you know?
Phil, I totally agree. John should explain what happened and why it happened in the context of this wonderful life that Elizabeth had. She had this life. Then John came along and he had an affair and fathered a child out of wedlock. So that in the context, and like the song says, even though you don't love me, in the context, I'll see it through, you know. So what they're saying is, it's all gone, it's dead, our feeling for each other. I wouldn't even recognize you on a street. If you walk down the street, that's how indifferent I am to you. And yet, I still love you. So in the context...
Margaret, I don't understand what you mean about in the context. I'm going to have to tell you.
What's not to understand?
You're talking about, forgive me, Elizabeth Edwards, this is her memorial.
Her life was John's life. Her health was John's health. My God, Phil, forgive me for saying this, but I think there's some poetry to it. Her sex life was John's sex life. Her...
What has that got to do with her day, her memorial?
It, in this respect, when John Edwards stands up and says, hello, I am John Edwards, you all know who I am. I was the man that married and loved this woman for longer than anyone. Let me explain now. Why, as we say goodbye to Elizabeth, I guess I'm thinking that we can say hello to John, you know? As we say goodbye to Elizabeth, why you should say hello to me? Again.
But that's about him.
No. Again, it's in the context. And I know you don't want to hear that, the phrase.
I don't want to hear that song is what I don't want to hear. I don't even understand the song. We're talking here with Margaret Gray about Elizabeth Edwards, whose funeral will be tomorrow in at Edenton Street United Methodist Church in Raleigh, North Carolina. Planning to speak will be her daughter, two friends. The service will celebrate Mrs. Edwards' life. As you know, she succumbed to breast cancer. John Edwards is not scheduled to speak, and yet Margaret Gray is with us here this evening, a nationally syndicated columnist, speaking to the point that John Edwards should be allowed to speak. I got to tell you, I just don't see it.
You don't see it, Phil, because you don't understand how much John Edwards is needed by this country and how he has to somehow find a way. He has to find a way to wedge or to jimmy open the door to 2012. And I'm not saying use a funeral for that, but I am saying we're gathered here today to say goodbye to Elizabeth and to say hello, John. And that is so important, Phil, if you're a Democrat. I know that you're not. But these are things...
All right, hold the line here for just a moment. 877-876-PHIL. I think that that's a tasteless... I think it's tasteless. Goodbye, Elizabeth. Hello, John. At her funeral. 877-876-PHIL. 877-876-PHIL is the number as we speak here about Elizabeth Edwards and whether or not John Edwards should be allowed to speak at this very courageous woman's funeral tomorrow. It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. 877-876-PHIL. We'll be back.
It's... The Phil Hendry Show.
You know the song I'm talking in the context of the thing?
No, I don't.
You're listening to the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Next hour, Robert Greene, not Robert Greene, excuse me, who is our guest now? Dr. Ron Tarner is going to join us on a controversy having to do with cake mix. Dr. Tarner is the chair of a scientific council on race relations in Denver, Colorado. We'll be talking to him about, believe it or not, a racial issue having to do with cake mix in supermarkets. 877-876-PHIL. Margaret Gray is with us. We're going to be talking to our listeners in just a second. You had a point about Elizabeth Edwards and John Edwards and what you think she would want.
Well, I'm firmly convinced that Elizabeth Edwards would want John to speak because I think she was very vested in his campaign. I think she was very vested in what it was that he stood for. I think as well, Phil, we have to come to a realization that it is... I think it's very possible, and I found myself getting a little emotional just then, that the Native Americans believe you can time your exit from this world, if you will. They call it choosing the portal of your exit and leaving this world on the wings of an eagle. I think it's very possible that Elizabeth Edwards chose exactly this time to leave this world because the Democrats had just taken a grotesque beating in the elections in November. And what would be a better time than now for John to stand up and say, I love this woman, and she now leaves us, but I am here. And that's probably not good news for a lot of people, but I think...
I was just trying to imagine what people would think when they hear that. It might be... They might hear that with horror.
No, they would not hear that with horror. We really need to grow up a little bit. This man, say what you will about him fathering a child out of wedlock, he was a man with a vision for this country. And there's a lot of bad things people want to say.
All right, let me get to some phone calls here. 877-876-PHIL is our number. And we'll see what people think about whether John Edwards should speak at Elizabeth Edwards' funeral today, tomorrow, Saturday. Here is Lisa in East Orange, New Jersey, listening on WWRL. Go ahead, Lisa.
Good morning.
Good morning
to your guest. I just couldn't help but call to say that, with all due respect, this is the most ludicrous conversation I've ever heard. It is a funeral. It's inappropriate to talk politics at a funeral. I know that people have gotten kind of into the habit where every aspect of their life is somehow tied to politics, but suggesting that this woman chose her own death time and that she wanted her husband to reintroduce his make a footway into politics for the 2012 election, I think is insulting and inappropriate. Have a good evening.
Well, all right. Thank you very much for your comment. I appreciate that.
Okay, thank you.
May I respond?
Go ahead.
I think the young lady misses the metaphysical point I'm trying to make. I'm trying to be very respectful. It is a spiritual voyage, a spiritual journey in which Elizabeth Edwards says, I know now it's time for me to leave this sphere of existence. As I exit, John enters. And, you know, just to use a sort of a colloquial phrase, I pity the poor bastards that are going to have to face him in 2012. Goodbye. And then she leaves. Now, I don't see what's disrespectful about that.
Well, disrespectful in the sense that it doesn't sound very spiritual. It certainly doesn't sound very, it doesn't sound like any kind of religion that I know. I don't understand what you mean. I pity the poor bastards.
What I'm saying, when I say that Elizabeth Edwards chose her time for leaving this sphere or plane, or if you will, this continuum, she exited or ejected from the continuum. And I'm speaking the way Native Americans believe, in a spiritual way. And now my soulmate, John Edwards. And
are we forgetting that this man cheated on her?
Well, these things transcend time and space and personalities. These are much, much deeper. And as John enters, she leaves and says, I pity the bastard. Goodbye. And she becomes a mist. You see? This, to me, is the beauty, I think, of forgiveness.
877-876-PHIL. Let's move on to Liz. Liz is listening in Mobile, Alabama. Hello, Liz. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with Margaret Gray. Go ahead, please.
Hi. Thanks for letting me comment on this.
Yes, ma'am.
I am so with the last lady that called in. This is absolutely ridiculous to even consider having a political comment made at a funeral for whatever reason. Let the lady lie in peace and celebrate her life, not what happened in her life.
Yeah,
that's
I agree with that.
But what about having John Edwards there? But what about having John Edwards there? What do you think of that?
Ma'am?
Yes.
Ma'am?
The question I asked was, what do you think about having John Edwards there at least to say a few words, such as...
I don't believe it's his place to say anything. He lost that right. He lost that right.
Goodbye, Elizabeth. Hello, John. He lost the right how? He's the father of
those
children.
He lost the right by...
He's not her husband.
...by violating their marriage vows. He lost that right. Thank you for allowing me to
comment. Yes, I understand how emotional a lot of people are with this bill. And when you are emotional, you don't really think clearly. What I'm saying is... John Edwards, he transcends emotionalism. We're talking about saving this country. And I'm trying to use, is there some way
it's
we can use
about saving this country, but you're not going to do it with a Democrat. Thank you very much.
Oh, but you didn't want it to be political. How hypocritical of you.
It's a free country, last time I checked.
Free to be a hypocrite, yes.
All right, okay. 877-876-PHIL. Why do you call her why do you call that lady a hypocrite?
She said that I was using politics, and she turns around, and let's just slip in the slam on the Democrats. There has to be a way, and I'm speaking now to Democrats, because I know Republicans don't really get it. There has to be a way that we can use this very sad, sad event to get John Edwards out in front of the American people to say, this is Elizabeth Edwards. I was married to her, yes. I cheated on her, yes. I fathered a child out of wedlock. All of this is true. But Elizabeth now goes to meet her ancestors. Elizabeth now goes, as they say in the Buddhist cultures, she now goes to bang a gong with her ancestors. But I'm here. So as we say goodbye to Elizabeth, we say, hello, John. And I know that's not really...
I can't imagine him saying that. You would have to have somebody saying it for him.
What do you mean someone saying it for him?
He's going to stand up there and go, goodbye, Elizabeth, hello, John.
No, I understand what you're saying. But what I'm saying, that's the theme, you see.
And what about this Buddhist thing? She's off banging gongs with her ancestors. I think you have to make this a respectful and a traditional, and more importantly than anything else, a celebration in keeping with the wishes of the family.
Well, that is not going to be possible, Phil. I'm sorry.
Why not?
Because at some point, some of us are going to have to say, John Edwards needs to get up and speak.
And hold on for a minute. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL, world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show and our website, philhendryshow.com, with a live streaming video of our show with a backstage pass. You can watch me performing the show right now and our merchandise store, and when I say merchandise, we'll be selling our Best of Classic CDs. Should be opening up this weekend in time for Christmas. So check it out, philhendryshow.com. Online with me, the nationally syndicated writer, Margaret Gray, and we talk about Elizabeth Edwards' funeral, which will be happening tomorrow. A very sad day for even people who might have politically disagreed with her, such as myself, but who grew to admire her, the courage and the beauty and the love that she showed, you know, Margaret. And you're talking about John Edwards speaking. You think it's a good idea for him to speak. You see this funeral as an opportunity for his political career to be resurrected, and you can hear what people are saying. Not the time, not the place.
Well, you know, Phil, I wish that we had in our lives, I wish we had the luxury in our lives to choose the times and the places of our of where we begin our battles and how we commence our fight to reclaim ourselves. But we don't. We don't have that right. We have to take the events as Henry David Thoreau once wrote, seize them at the flood. Seize them at the flood. So I say that tomorrow John Edwards can give a few remarks that are very tasteful, that can, he can tell people there, I have thrown the harlot out. I have taken this Jezebel, this hunter, and the bastard child, and they have been removed from my house. They're removed from my father's house. And then I think what they can do in as tasteful a way as they can is begin to commence this conversation, Phil. I don't know if there's going to be a viewing. Do you know if there's a viewing? About the viewing, Phil?
What do you mean by a viewing? You mean
the coffin?
I don't know.
If it is open, there is an opportunity, I think, and you could do it with humor, to put a John Edwards button on the... I don't know. You know.
Oh, come, that is vile.
I said with humor, Phil, and please don't get high and mighty with me.
I will get... That is vile. Vote John Edwards button on the body of Elizabeth Edwards?
I said in with humor.
There's nothing funny about the passing of this woman. Her daughter will be speaking. Her two close friends.
And I don't need you preaching to me. I lost a mother last.
I understand your mother died.
So I don't need you preaching to me.
877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. Let's go to Elizabeth in Nashville, Tennessee, listening on WWTN. Hi, Elizabeth. You're on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead, please.
Well, first, I would like to say I'm a moderate Democrat, and unfortunately, I'm very ashamed of the way this person is taking this death. I would imagine she had plenty of time to decide who she would like to speak at her funeral. And yes, I do think it's important. Obviously, they spent a large part of their life together, but this should be a celebration of her life, not about indiscretions that he had in his. And what is going on with all over the place in the context and the bastard child? I mean, does that make any sense? This should be about her life.
I am talking
and her
about
memory.
John. Yes, it is about her life and her memory. But what was her life about, John Edwards? That's what you're missing.
And putting a button on her and making this a political occasion would be shameful. And to think that you are trying to stand up for Democrats and going all over the place on this makes absolutely no sense, and you are not taking her life into consideration.
Well, that's the second time you said all over the place. I don't know what you mean. I'm saying in the context
of... Well, you go from the Buddhist temple to the bastard child to in the context. You are making no sense. I can't imagine how you write an article and anyone reads it.
You know, there's something about you I don't like.
Well, I'm okay with that. I think that it's crazy that you would make a funeral a political occasion. This woman obviously had plenty of time to plan for her death. And when she planned for her death, I would imagine she said, you know what, I don't want my husband who cheated on me to speak at my funeral about the person he cheated on me with.
Excuse me for a moment. Phil, so many times when there's a caller on the air, I hear you in the background, right. What you do is encourage this hysteria. And
this is not hysteria. This woman is, I agree with everything she's saying.
And you have a problem with Buddhist religion.
I do not have a problem with the Buddhist religion. I don't know what, it's Elizabeth Edwards' funeral. If she wants to have a Native American theme.
Hello, she's dead? What is it with you two people? Do you think this is a wedding? She's not with us any longer.
Why would she make it a political occasion if she's dead? Do you think that's what she wants? Someone to put a button on her that says, go, John Edwards?
Oh, my God. What did the woman do throughout her life but support her husband's political career? Have you been awake? What did she do?
I've been perfectly awake. I read the paper every day, and I read the Internet every day.
And what did she do throughout her life? And what did she do throughout her life? Supported her husband.
And
she supported her husband. When he and then the guy goes out and cheats on her, and they were separated. She made very clear what she thought about John Edwards, at least in the context of their marriage.
You know, you're mocking me.
If you've read her book had nothing to do with wanting John Edwards to speak about his political gain at her funeral.
I think she was still in denial, but I think that if you remember that song that you're laughing about, Elizabeth. But, in the context that
what
you and I...
What in the world does that mean? No idea
you
what
laugh
you
at,
are even saying. In the context.
If you laugh at me one more...
All right, look, Elizabeth, thank you very much for your call. 877-876-PHIL. I don't think you uttering threats.
I could hear her, though, going...
Well...
Oh, my God, and you're doing the same thing, aren't you?
Yes, I am, in the context.
You know, I was a professional singer.
Margaret, I know that you sang professionally. I know you sang with on Broadway. I know you did. You were accomplished in a great many ways. I don't know these songs. What we're talking about is John Edwards, and I think you can recognize the sensitivity of this issue, a man who is estranged from this woman, and now she dies. From cancer. She was dying from cancer when he was cheating on her with another woman. He admitted he was, you know, I have to tell you something. Have you thought about what John Edwards thinks of this?
Well, you know, it doesn't matter what John Edwards thinks of it. It doesn't matter what John Edwards thinks of it, Phil.
Why not?
Because destiny has called John Edwards. When you are destined, when there is a vision, you have no say, you have no choice. You don't argue with vision. You don't argue with destiny. You argue with an opinion, yes. You argue with a point of view. Because every jackass, as the saying goes, has an opinion. But you don't argue with destiny. You don't argue with vision. And I wish you understood that.
John Edwards is about as destined to be president as I am.
How dare you?
Oh, that's not an insult. John Edwards was not going to be president. He'll never be president. And you sticking a button on his late wife's body that says, vote Edwards.
But you don't want me to bring up in the context.
You know, you're crying about your mother dying. That's what you're doing. You're putting, you know, you're projecting all of this, and this is all about your mom, isn't it?
Thank you, Dr. Phil.
Never mind.
No, thanks a lot, Dr. Phil.
877-876-PHIL.
On the Dr. Phil show.
877-876-PHIL. Let's go to a phone call. Here I have Susan on the line in Dallas, Texas. Hi, Susan. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with Margaret Gray.
No, the Dr. Phil McGraw Show.
Hi. Hello, Margaret.
Hi.
Hello, Phil. Thank you for taking my call.
How you doing? Yes, ma'am.
I am speechless.
you know,
this,
I don't have to be here talking about
this. This lovely lady that we're talking to tonight, you know, I have a great idea to go along with the button. I think we could take the corpse and stick an arm in her body through her back and make her, you know, talk and say vote for John, because John is
ghoulish. That is ghoulish, what you just said.
You are an idiot.
You ought to be ashamed of yourself. You should be ashamed of yourself.
You need to get off the crack, okay? You need to lay off the drugs and seriously call Dr. Phil.
What do you mean by crack?
Insane.
What do you mean by crack?
You are
drugs or sex?
You're on drugs?
How am
I
insane when I...
And by the way, your singing stinks. Please don't do it again. Phil, I'm going to have to turn you off tonight.
You know, if you were here, I'd slap you in the face. I'd slap you right across your smart face.
Say no to drugs. Say no to drugs. That's all I got to say to you. You
are an
idiot.
All right, well, then tell your brother to stay off my street. An idiot?
You're an idiot.
No, you're the idiot because you don't understand context. In the context. I hate you. I hate you so much. I hate people that say things and then hang up.
Well, you know what? Can you blame the lady? Can you blame her? You're talking here about a very, very sad moment.
If I hear how sad Elizabeth Edwards' funeral is going to be, I think I'm going to vomit. I know how sad it's going to be. I know, Phil. You don't have to tell me. I'm trying to give it context. I'm trying to give it form. John Edwards stands in front of the assembled, the mourners, and says, I knew this woman. I knew her better than any of you. I know what you think of me.
Sure.
I know. I know you think that I am a, what's the word? What word do you want? Pig? Is that good enough? Would you like me to use something more colorful? Maybe I'm a something from Lord of the Rings, a goblin. Or that the golem creature. Is that what you'd like to see me as? I'll be anything you want me to be. I'm John Edwards. I'm here. And I'm here for you to pull me and push me, to mold me and shape me into the most misshapen, ugly creature that your wildest hallucinations could possibly dream up. But while you're doing that, I want you to think of something else. Elizabeth is gone. Oh, we'll remember her, and we'll love her always. But I'm here. Take a good long look at this kisser. It's not going anywhere. You know I'll be on the cover of a magazine. You know,
Is this going to take a while?
It's what going to take a while?
What are you doing?
I'm giving you the speech. Oh, my God, are you stupid?
Don't you ever call me stupid when you're on my show.
No, forgive me, Phil, but you really are dumb. Didn't you know what I was doing?
Yes, and I was asking you, is it going to be forever? Because I have to take a break.
Were you listening to it, or were you just looking at your watch and wondering if you'll have a chance to go into the bathroom and you know what?
877-876-PHIL. Should John Edwards be allowed to speak at Elizabeth Edwards' funeral tomorrow? Margaret Gray with some astounding opinions tonight. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Boy, you take the kid.
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Oh, good. No, I have him. Yeah.
Welcome back. World-famous Phil Hendry Show. Margaret Gray on the line with us. We got a few more phone calls to get to. We're talking about Elizabeth Edwards, her funeral tomorrow. And the question arose, just sort of spontaneously earlier in our discussion, will John Edwards be there? And the answer, of course, is no, he will not be there. But you think he should be there, and you have, Margaret, pretty much offended everyone, including myself, with some of these opinions having to do with the politicking of John Edwards. We don't care whether he's ever elected president of the United States. The American people don't.
And what about Elizabeth Edwards, wherever she is? Do you think she cares?
Margaret, we don't know, and that's up for the family to decide, isn't it?
And what if the family says, okay, John, go ahead and speak?
Then it's okay. Then it's okay. If that's what the family wants, that's what the family wants.
Phil, I don't know if you remember the song. I'm not going to sing it, don't worry, but I do want to give a couple of bars. I really felt that it would be something that would heal all of us. Because, as you say, even if we didn't agree with her politics, there was something about this woman that we admired. For John Edwards, and maybe one of the girls, one of his daughters, to stand together and sing what I think is one of the most beautiful songs. I'm getting emotional, you know, because of my own mother. Goodbye, Norma Jean. May you ever grow in our hearts. You were the grace that placed itself while lives were torn apart. You called out to the country and your campaign to have fun. Well, it says something about having minds removed.
That's the song that Elton John sang for Princess Diana.
No, it's about Marilyn Monroe.
No, the mind removal is... No, they changed the lyrics.
Well, I don't know. I'm saying the one that was about the candle in the wind.
The one that you're singing there is about Princess Diana. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. Corrine in Virginia Beach, Virginia. Go ahead, please.
Hello, Margaret.
Yes.
My heart go out to you.
Thank you very much.
You are wrong. If the family would want John to be there, I think it would be okay for John to be there for the respect of his kids and to be there to support his younger children. But as far as him speaking, I don't feel he should have a word to utter because he totally disrespected Mrs. Edwards during her lifetime. And now is not the time to try to rectify anything that he did. The woman is dead. And this is would be totally disrespectful again. Even more disrespectful than what he did when she was alive. And as far as you feeling that she chose this time to die, I think that is absolutely ludicrous. I don't feel
that she chose
this time to die.
Well, doesn't it seem, if you look at it objectively, doesn't it seem rather well-timed? Because the Democrats just got, as my husband likes to say...
Forget the Democrats. This has nothing to do...
You know what, kid?
That woman's death has nothing to do with politics, period.
You know that the Buddhists believe that one can transcend this sphere and meet and greet. You know that?
What do you mean, meet and greet?
The transcendent, the ancestor.
You're speaking like you're at a biker's event. Bikers are meet and greet. I think
bikers.
I agree with the other lady.
How dare you laugh at me, Mr. Henry?
Somewhere, and I think you should lay out the drive.
What do you mean, biker's event? Are you talking about the Hells Angels?
I'm talking about motorcycle riders have meet and greet.
I thought you were talking about banging a gong with your ancestors the way the Buddhists do. That's what bikers do?
What is this banging a gong with your ancestors? And what does Buddhism have to do with Elizabeth Edwards? But, you know, if her family wanted to include Buddhist ritual or Native American ritual, anything they wanted to, they can do that. You're talking about Elizabeth Edwards shuffling off the mortal coil and this and that and this and that. Real weird.
Well, this lady's talking like I'm getting passed around a campfire.
What?
This lady is talking like I'm getting passed around a campfire.
What do you mean you're getting passed around a campfire?
Like on a biker run up to Bass Lake. Right?
You shouldn't be getting passed around anything because you shouldn't have anything to do with anything having to do with this funeral. That is totally up to the family. And
do you know
what
the song?
You're saying about what they should do or what John should do, I think you are crazy. You need to go and lay on the black couch for a while. Yeah, you laugh
you,
because
you know.
Funny.
I want to tell you something.
You are
Mr. Henry. No,
very
Mr. Henry's
funny.
Laughing, and if he continues laughing, I will hang up.
Well, you know what, Margaret? Maybe you should hang up.
I want to ask this lady. Do you know the song "Goodbye, Norma Jean"? Goodbye, Norma.
When you hang up, go look for us.
Don't you even have the thing?
Thank you very much, Corrine. Yeah. Go ahead. Thank you very much, dear. 877-876-PHIL. Christopher in Houston, Texas, go ahead.
How's it going?
Understanding what?
Yes, sir. Good.
Going pretty well over here. I gotta say,
we didn't ask you.
I think
that
for Edwards to speak at his wife's funeral would be political suicide. Making someone else's funeral all about entirely about himself would be the most boneheaded move he could make. He'd lose total respect for every politician and every human person here in America.
Why?
For you to think that is an actual...
Tell me why.
How could he not? How could you make someone else's death about themselves a political move?
No, but he doesn't make it about himself. He says, I knew Elizabeth, I loved her. He talks about Elizabeth. He talks nothing about Elizabeth.
Your
and then he works in his own run.
You must realize, like, it's your own personal opinion. And yes, you may
of
have
had
many accomplishments in your life, but... This has got to be not. This is not one of them.
I'm simply saying that. Well, maybe, but I am saying you got to roll the dice big. You know, if you risk big, sometimes you win big. And John Edwards needs something now that's going to pull his career out of the garbage disposal, because that's where it is.
Well, you know what? If you want the garbage disposal to get turned on, just have him start speaking at Elizabeth Edwards' funeral tomorrow. And, you know, thank you very much, Christopher. That's the end, you know.
Yeah, that's real cute.
What?
If you want the garbage disposal to get turned on...
You said his career's in a garbage disposal?
Yes.
Well, it'll get flipped on and start grinding up his career if he speaks tomorrow.
Well, then if John Edwards is not allowed to speak... May I at least, you know, like a candle in the wind, never fading with the sound. I don't like these lyrics. These are the Diana lyrics. When the mine, it's got to do with unexploded mines.
Yeah, you're going to have to get the other lyrics.
I don't know where they are.
Margaret, great. Thank you very much, Margaret.
Is that it? You mean you can't leave me with egg on my face like this.
Well, I'm sorry you had an hour, and that's it. Coming up next, Ron Turner, Phil Henry Show.
Phil Hendry.
Damn you and all that you are.
Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
When I got up to the door, she opened the door and she's like, this took forever. The war.
We have been marginalized. And we feel like that they have not given.
It was very important to Elizabeth that the father of her children.
I'm like, oh, snap.
You're fired.
World famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. This is a news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, where truth is our bitch, and where we go beyond the looking glass and through the thing, and we just, you know, we go places where other talk shows wish they could, but they can't. Duncan Hines landed in some hot water over a cupcake ad, believe it or not. A cupcake ad that some found racist. Joining us to discuss this, Dr. Ron Turner of the Scientists' Council for Racial Equality. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. And, of course, we're online at philhendryshow.com. If you have a backstage pass, you can watch me performing the show right now, live with our video cast. We'll be selling our classic CDs starting this weekend from our online store. We are planning to upgrade our video casts to the level of a daily television show, and we'll tell you more about that as we head toward this new year. And right now, though, Dr. Ron Turner joining us from Mountain Meadow Observatory in Cloverdale, Colorado. And Dr. Turner, thanks for joining us.
Well, thank you, Phil.
And, sir, this Scientist Council for Racial Equality reminds me, of course, of the work done by scientists, not just in their field, but throughout history. Scientists have found themselves often advocating on behalf of social issues. This is just more of the same, I guess, huh?
Well, we are citizens of the United States of America, and as such, we want to lend whatever influence we have to the daily discourse over the future of our country. As a scientist, I'm not all about discipline is astronomy. I am not all about sitting in an observatory. I live and I breathe and and am very concerned with the issues affecting our country. And so as scientists, we find it easier to join together, to associate, and advocate on behalf of certain issues as scientists together, much easier than people of disparate disciplines. And racial equality is a passion of mine, as it is with some of my other colleagues here at Mount Meadow.
Tell me about the this issue that you guys have gotten a hold of, and you were talking, I know, to a couple of other stations today, this Duncan Hines ad?
To put it as simply as I can, we are just a few weeks away from a new year, the year 2011. We are almost 10 years now into, 11 years into this new millennium. We are far removed from the days of Jim Crow laws. We're far removed from the days of racial inequality. And we're far removed from the days when it was okay or it was socially acceptable to tell racial jokes at parties. And yet, with all of that, we still have a company like Duncan Hines, a very large company and one that has been in food service for a long, long time. It is well known by consumers, engaging in this kind of schoolyard racial taunting and joking. I guess they thought it was funny. Well, it wasn't. They pulled their ad. And yet when we were talking with the Duncan Hines people and we were talking with grocers, we found that this was just the tip of the iceberg. And so I'm on your program this evening, and others are going to be on other programs to talk to consumers, to let them know what kind of what a minefield it is out there, really.
Well, what happened with the Duncan Hines ad? This was an ad over a cupcake mix. Is that correct?
Well, the problem with the ad, and it was so obvious, it was unbelievable that they vetted this. In the commercial, you see an individual pouring a chocolate icing on top of cupcakes, and the icing suddenly has lips, a nose, and eyes, and begins to sing like a minstrel show. You can well imagine black icing with these big lips singing as if it's the Mills Brothers or some ridiculous thing like this. And some people might think that's funny, but it is a racist caricature, and we don't need it. And as far as I can have influence, I don't want to see it. But when we were in a couple of the grocery stores in Cloverdale as well as in Denver, we saw countless examples of this kind of racism.
All right, so you are saying, and I understand, just to catch up here, that the black chocolate mix...
Well, it's chocolate mix, yes.
All right, but it's a dark chocolate. Suddenly had eyes and lips and was singing like the Mills Brothers.
Well, it was singing some kind of a hip-hop type song. So you could well imagine. It was almost as blindly racist as the Lion King when it had those two hyenas talking like they were a couple of members of the NWA. It was that blind hatred.
And do you really think that Duncan Hines is involved in hate?
At this particular point, I think it's just stupidity that is driven by some deeper hate. But let me tell you what we are now engaged in, because it's much worse than just Duncan Hines with the big lips on the cake mix. I walked into a supermarket in Denver, and on the shelves of this particular market, and I will not mention the name, but you could go into just about any supermarket and see this. You are looking at row after row of boxes of this dark cake mix, dark chocolate mix, all of this cookie mix, brownie mix, all of it the exact same texture. Now, I understand that chocolate is a dark color.
Okay.
But not this kind of skin coloring. What they're doing with this chocolate now, chocolate used to be much darker, but what they're doing is they're lightening it up so it has this mahogany look. And I said to the manager of the store, I said, since when does chocolate all of a sudden flesh tone? He said, well, what do you mean? I said, these different chocolates are all the different tones of skin coloration of African Americans. And he gave me one of those looks, which is indicative of these closet racists who, you know, don't want to have their good time all of a sudden spoiled. And I said to him that this is going to become an issue. I went to two other stores, and I went with a couple of other members of the council and saw the same thing.
All right, I want to interrupt you here. Our number, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. Duncan Hines cake mix and chocolate mix. The ad looked racist. Is chocolate icing chocolate cake? Do they need to do something with that so that it is no longer, so it doesn't look like they're trying to mock African Americans with the color of the chocolate? What exactly were you, just wanted to ask you this question, what exactly were you talking about when you said skin coloration?
Well, when you, in the old days, if you got a Hershey bar or you had a chocolate bar, you could see the color of the chocolate bar was fairly, it was a chocolate color, and that would be a brownish color or a tannish color, unlike any other kind of brown or tan that you would see. Today, what they are doing with these chocolate companies, I think unconsciously perhaps, but nonetheless offensively and blindly racist, is they are beginning to make these chocolate cake mixes in the colorations of the skin of black people, so that it encourages a woman who is in her kitchen, who is bored, a woman who, for whatever reason, even a young person who gets home from school and wants to get into some mischief, they decide they're going to make some cookies that look like a black man and express some kind of hate. Phil, you said something that I fully agree with once. You said we have to educate each other, and I agree. Whites have to educate whites. I saw the Oreo cookie. Oreo cookies, as you know.
All right, I want to just again interrupt you. When somebody comes home from school and wants to make brownies, and you're saying they're looking at cake mix, the coloration of which is like a black person's skin, they decide to make cookies that look like a black man.
That's exactly what I said, yes. That's exactly what I said. And let me point to you, the cookie maker in Greenwich Village during the Obama campaign, or after Obama was elected president, who had the Negro cookie. And let me also point to you...
No, I understand. I'm not saying that there can't be people out there doing just the most asininely hateful things, even with cookies. But I'm asking, are you honestly is telling me, because I'm happy...
Everything I'm saying to you is honest. Everything I'm saying.
All right. That people see skin coloration in this chocolate.
That is... It's not only what I believe, it's what I know. The Oreo cookie, which is white on the inside, black on the outside, suggesting that a black person is a step and fetch it. Well, we know all about that. That was uncovered years ago. Oreo continues to make it, but they obviously are shopping it to a... They seem to be happy. They're shopping that to a certain kind of racist. But we could stop this other...
Oreo cookies are not... The Oreo cookies, it's never been acknowledged by Oreo, by Nabisco, that those cookies represent black people who want to be white on the inside. That is a phrase that... or a belief. It's a symbol, I should say, an analogy... drawn by some black people about other black people, not because the cookie was intended that way.
Well, however you want to spin it, that's what it means.
All right. 877-876-PHIL, the number on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, as we talk here with Dr. Ron Tarner from the Science Council for Racial Equality. He is talking about the Duncan Hines cupcake commercial, which was pulled because some people felt it was racially offensive. That's just the beginning, he said. Stores need to begin pulling boxes of chocolate, cake mix, brownie mix, and cookie mix because the chocolate itself is now beginning to resemble African-American skin coloration. 877-876-PHIL, do you believe that we need to sort of stop and take a step back from how we're enjoying desserts? Or is it something much larger than that? Is it a racial statement? 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
It's the Phil Hendry Show.
I like that. That's good.
Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
Welcome back. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL. From the Science Council on Racial Equality, Dr. Ron Tarner from the Mountain Meadow Observatory in Cloverdale, Colorado, an astronomer by training, and that's your science, Dr. Tarner. But we have been talking, and we started the hour talking about how all people, no matter their pursuit, are involved in using their influence to, change society. And my hat's off to you. I don't want you to think that I criticized your work or the work of other scientists in trying to achieve some understanding, racial understanding in our country. You brought up the Duncan Hines commercial with the chocolate icing being racist. You've now said that we have a problem in our supermarkets.
Well, Phil, the idea that the Duncan Hines commercial is somehow isolated, I think, is a bit naive. Devil's Food Cake, which is as dark as, I suppose, to choose a name from the news, Wesley Snipes, a very talented man, African-American, and with a skin tone like the darkest, blackest Devil Food Cake, clearly infers the darkness there, that what you're doing is you're allowing these idle hands and these racist minds to get a foothold in the imagination of people and say, well, I better not eat chocolate cake, or I better not eat chocolate icing, because that is racist. And what we're just trying to send the message to the cake manufacturers and the cookie, the people that make cookies, Pillsbury and so forth, that your chocolate cookies can be used to look like a black, you know.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. Let's move to a phone call. I'll tell you what, Catherine in Jersey City, New Jersey, listening on WWRL. Go ahead, Catherine. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with Dr. Ron Tarner.
Hi, Phil.
Hi.
Dr. Ron Tarner.
Yes.
I am having a very hard time comprehending the reality of what you're saying, Dr. Tarner. The way you're speaking, it indicates...
My name is Tarner, by the way. Uh-huh. My name is Tarner. I'm sorry.
Tarner, yeah.
Carter, I'm sorry. The way you're talking, we're going to have to eliminate all forms of chocolate, no chocolate ice cream, and you can't have chocolate and vanilla ice cream at the same time, and you can't have, you have to be very careful.
Excuse me,
I'm
chocolate
speaking.
And vanilla. I never said anything about vanilla.
Oh, yes, you did. Oreo cookies, black and white.
Well, but you know that that's a racist
that
symbol.
That is white. That black is
black
white.
Right.
We
exactly.
And people are going to have to be very careful about what colors they wear. Can they wear tan or brown, or will it be considered racial? Or if they wear black with a white shirt, will that be considered racial?
I could ask
racial?
You, why
excuse
do you
me,
wear...
Sir, excuse why, me, sir.
Why do you,
excuse
why
me,
do you
sir.
Wear tan? Why do you wear tan?
And... what if somebody has a very dark tan? Are they trying to mimic a black person or
oh,
a tan person?
Don't be silly. Don't be silly.
No, well, that is what I am
don't
hearing
be silly.
From you, sir.
Yeah,
that
you're
is
talking
what
about...
I am hearing from you.
I did not
chocolate
say anything about
chocolate cakes come
a
in different colors. You
yes,
also have red
absolutely.
Velvet, which is a different color, too. Different colored black.
I'm
devil food
about,
cake
well.
Cannot come out as a vanilla cake.
I can tell you that the red colored chocolate is similar to blacks who have that red coloring, the red
so,
hair, and so forth.
That is
and
your
so,
that is your opinion. You are making it an issue.
So,
who else have you ever heard speak about that?
I just told you the Duncan Hines Company had to pull their commercial.
Why did they have to pull their commercial?
Actually, what happened, I'll just, Catherine, because I know it's a very bizarre story, but it's true. Duncan Hines pulled a commercial in which they had chocolate icing going on top of cupcakes. And as the icing hit the cupcakes, it started to sing. It had eyes and a nose and lips and was singing. And I guess they had enough complaints where they pulled the commercial. They thought it looked racial.
Exactly. Now, we can keep going down that road. It's a dangerous road to go down where you go out and get the cake mix because you want to start making fun of black people.
You're really way out when people are going to be thinking that. Look at
M&M's.
Look at M&M's. M&M's are chocolate candy. They're chocolate inside. They sing, they dance, they do everything else. Just because they have a different color on the outside, there's still chocolate on the inside if you want to take it the way to the level you're taking it.
And that's what M&M is. M&M is a white man on the outside, but black
on
the
inside. No, it's a green man, it's a yellow man, it's a red man, it's a blue man. M&M. Yes, it is.
Well, you're talking about the singer?
I'm talking about the hip-hop artist named M&M.
She's talking about the candy.
But it's the same difference. M&M is black on the inside and white on the outside.
No, it's not white on the outside. It's green, yellow, blue, red.
What are you talking about?
M&M candy.
She's talking about the candy.
I'm talking about the hip-hop singer named M&M.
Okay. What's the point here? I'm not really sure.
I don't know what the point is. This lady is talking about a black man. She's talking about a black man that went white. And I'm saying that's what's going to happen.
I am not talking about
the
singer.
You're going to get blacks to go white.
I am talking about the M&M candy dancing and singing. Just as the icing was supposed to be singing.
And you're calling me nuts. And she's talking about candy that's dancing and singing. Okay, I'll go with you. And what is it doing when it dances and sings?
Dances and sings.
What are you talking about? She's talking about a commercial that she sees just like the icing, you know?
Uh-huh.
All right, anyway, Catherine, thank you very much. 877-876-PHIL. We're talking about chocolate icing, chocolate cake.
Chocolate icing, chocolate cake, chocolate mixes, Phil, that are going to be used to begin to drive a serious wedge between the races. We have come so far. We're almost in the year 2012, and yet we have chocolate cake mix that can roll back decades of racial progress.
877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Will be right back.
Man.
Big man.
Phil Hendry.
You're the guy that doesn't make sense.
Listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
On the line here is Dr. Ron Tarner from the Science Council on Racial Equality. Dr. Tarner, an astronomer from Denver, Colorado, on with us to talk about what's happening in the grocery business, the retail business. Duncan Hines, and the story just broke today, that Duncan Hines had to withdraw from the marketplace a television commercial in which chocolate frosting being dripped on cupcakes starts to sing. And as it sings, it has eyes, it has a nose. I suspect the reason why it was considered racial is because the music sounds, it didn't sound hip-hop to me, you know?
Well, I don't know what you mean by it didn't sound hip. It sounded very urban. It used a lot of the synthesizer music that you hear in urban music. And I would say to you, Phil, that the big giveaway was the lips, the very pronounced lips on the icing. For my way of thinking, you could say that it was not intentionally racial. That's not the point. The point is we have become so inculcated and it has become so institutionalized to... and by the way, it's called beatboxing. And it looks like a black face and it was a beatbox.
According to who?
According to me. That I think that should be enough for you. according to me.
No, I understand, Dr. Tarner, that you have concerns, but according to who?
Well, we have talked enough about this, Phil. According to me is going to be my answer. I say it looks racist. Obviously, there are others, but for your purposes and the purposes of your listeners, according to me.
And that, to me, sounds very, I think that sounds very arrogant, sir.
It may sound arrogant, but I'm a little tired going over the sore, territory. Mother Jones, which is a very credible magazine, also said so. And I will tell you this. The Malabar cookie, which also has got our radar up, the Malabar has the black, very black chocolate and the white marshmallow. And we really want to get that Malabar, and we want to get that moved to the back of a shelf. I understand it's very good, and a lot of people like it. I'm not saying take it out of the store, but you've got to shove it way to the back so that people who can ask for it, where do you have the Malabars, and someone from the store can help them so that it doesn't become such an obvious hunt for this, and other customers, black customers, will see a white coming to the counter with a Malabar. I think they could buy it somewhere else. And the reason why I say that, you have young black kids that are going to see the Malabar and ask their mothers and their fathers, what's wrong with me? What happened to me?
877-876-PHIL. I cannot claim to understand everything you're saying. Let's go to a phone call here. Haley in Nashville, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Haley, go ahead, please.
I'd be happy to explain anything I'm saying.
Go ahead, Haley.
I don't think it's racist. I think it's funny. I think he's loony in the head.
What are you saying it's funny? You mean the icing?
The icing is.
Are you black?
Yes, sir, I am.
Well, that shows you how you've been brainwashed.
I'm not brainwashed. It's just a joke, and you can't take a joke and get out the kitchen. It was just a joke, and you're being a total loser about it.
Are you saying to me, with all seriousness, that when that icing...
You are a loser, baby. Listen to me. No, you
listen to me. Are the lips big?
No, you listen to me.
Are the lips big?
You listen to me.
The lips are too big on the icing.
The lips are too big on the icing, huh?
It's just a joke. Why can't you just take a joke? Because, you know, if the M&Ms will sing How Sweet It Is to Be Loved by You, or it'll sing I Got Sunshine by the Temptations, it doesn't make it racist. It's just funny. It's black. M&Ms are
we
black
have had
inside,
complaints.
And they're colorful. And you are
there
being...
Are a,
what?
You, there are a great many white people who believe in racial equality who are trying to look out for you.
What? Whatever. I'm black, and I'm proud to be black, and it's
I
not
know.
Right.
And you should be proud
you're not
black.
Right.
I wish I were black. I wish I were black.
You wish you were black.
What is
being
it
black,
you wish
baby,
you were? But what,
it's a lot.
I'm saying that I'm looking out for you. I wish I were black so I could look out for you better. And
you know what, Ron? You ought to quit while you're ahead with all this I got to look out for you better stuff. You're listening to a woman tell you that she's not offended by it.
Well, a lot of white people are.
So
white
what?
People, time out, coat, flag, all size, face mask. Hold
wait a minute. Are you sitting back and enjoying one of those grape drinks?
Are you sipping on Hennessy?
Wait a second.
Let me tell you something,
I know who this is. I know who this is. It's Cat Stacks, because I know she's in Nashville, and I know that she hasn't gotten out yet. Is this Cat Stacks? Please tell me that it is.
All right. Anyway, Haley, thank you so much for your call. 877-876-PHIL. Is this Cat Stacks?
Was she calling from Nashville or not?
Yes.
Cat Stacks is in a federal holding pen in Nashville. Oh, my God.
Well, it wasn't Cat Stacks, all right? 877-876-PHIL. Here is Ruth in Louisville, Kentucky on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead, Ruth.
Okay, I have to ask, is it crazy person that on your show, first you have a lady talking about putting buttons on corpses, and now you have a guy talking about racist pastries.
Let me ask you something. Yeah, I want to ask him the same thing. If this is some kind of a joke, Ron, to follow up that idiocy with Margaret Gray.
Well, Phil, if you think it's a joke, then here's what I would suggest you do. You go out there with me and Dr. Bill Henning, any of the doctors, any of the men that I work with on a day-to-day basis, door-to-door as we do, talk to people, pass out our literature, and you're going to find out not only is it not a joke, it's very tiring. It is a daily effort that we make on behalf of our community. Now, you think that's funny? I don't see anything funny about racism.
I've seen a Duncan Hines commercial, okay, and I did not get a racist vibe.
Are you white?
You know what it reminded me of?
Are you white? Are you a white woman?
Pee Wee's Playhouse, the show in the 80s, he had all kinds of dancing and singing food. I don't look at brownies and think, hey, I'm going to be racist by eating this.
Yeah, you're white.
Ridiculous thing I've ever heard in my entire life.
Yep, you're white.
Well, you say something more than, yep, you're white.
Well, but she is. She's white. She sounds white.
How do you know that, sir? How do you know that? Because I'm all like, yo. You're the one that's
your opinion,
racist, not me.
Your opinion is most white, most blacks do say yo. I'm not saying you say yo, but a lot of blacks will throw one in.
There's lots of things out there that are brown or black. I mean, look at Jägermeister.
Yes.
It's brown. Does it make Jägermeister
no, it
racist?
It's
brown?
Green.
Not Jägermeister isn't green.
Well, what's the one that's green?
Grand Marnier.
Oh.
No, green.
A friend of mine the other day, I got an alcoholic friend, and he needed a drink, and he chugged this bottle of Grand Marnier, and his tongue was green, and I threw him out. But the point that I'm making with you is that if you look at the Duncan Hines commercial with the thick lips and the beatbox
They're
music...
They're not thick lips.
Somebody
it looks like Gumby lips. Was Gumby racist?
Yeah, Gumby was walking hatred.
Wow.
He was full on hate. Gumby, you want to know what Gumby did? You know that little clay character? If they showed you his life, there would be little clay men hanging from trees.
I'm laughing at you because you're one of these people that are breeding morons. You're part
yes,
of the reason
exactly.
that the country is oversensitive.
You call my son you're calling my son a moron, huh?
Let me just say this. If you could see Gumby's world, you'd see little clay men hanging from trees.
Yes. You know, Phil, to quit trying to be cool because you're trying to pick up this chick in Louisville.
Ruth, would you please forgive that comment by him? Thank you very much. 877-876-PHIL.
Did you hang up on her?
Yes.
Well, you blithering idiot.
Let's go to a phone call, or I'm calling the whole thing off, man. This interview about Duncan Hines has given me a headache. Maybe it's because I'm allergic to chocolate. 877-876-PHIL. Here is Catherine. Catherine, hi. You're on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead, please.
Well, I am a Caucasian. I did see that commercial.
Yes, ma'am.
I'm in real estate. And when I first saw it, in real estate, we cannot target any ethnicity or any race. I thought they were targeting blacks to purchase it. I didn't think that it was mocking blacks. I just thought they were trying to...
You thought that that's the way black people sing and see each other?
Well, yes. And I thought they were targeting them, trying to market the cake mix to them is how I saw it.
Well, why did they have a white woman that was pushing the buttons on the microwave? Yeah, see?
You know,
so what it is this is institutionalized racism, and I feel bad. I feel bad for you. You sound like a good woman.
I didn't see it that way. I didn't, and of course we all see things from our history or from where we're from.
Do you make cake? Do you make brownies? Do you make any kind of cake mix? Gumby was the lady was talking to me about Gumby.
Sir,
Gumby
I've only got a little bit of time on the radio. It's going to kick me off. Can I say what I called in to say?
Go ahead, Catherine. Go ahead.
Well, I just wanted to know that Gumby owned slaves.
I don't even know about Gumby, but I just saw that commercial, and I'm just saying.
Yes, ma'am.
Sometimes
it looks like a Gumby.
Things, and that's like.
Yeah.
Just like people can look at pictures of children and see innocent, sweet children, pedophiles don't see innocent, sweet children. So it's just kind of where your mindset is.
I'm not looking for it because I want to see it. I'm looking for it because I want to do something about it. I want to do away with it. When I lived
well, we
in
do
Gumby,
need to do away with the
commercial
racism, but the cocoa, but
exactly,
the cocoa bean the darker the cocoa bean, the more flavor it is, the richer it is. So when you buy cocoa, depending on the brand that you buy, when you open the can, you can, for example, Hershey's has a dark. If you buy some of the generic, it's not
about?
As dark. It's not as rich.
What are you?
And the different flavors of chocolate cake mix that are out there, just chocolate. Some people really like dark chocolate. Some like light. I don't really like dark chocolate. I don't care for that flavor. But it doesn't. It's not because I'm a racist. They're just marketing. They even have white chocolate. Chocolate is just chocolate. It just is what it is.
I would say again, Phil, Gumby, if you could see his whole world and not just the world that was on television,
I thought we were talking about chocolate.
There'd be
little clay men going
swinging from a tree.
Gumby was a... I'll tell you why, man, because Gumby was a piece of animation similar to what the Duncan Hines animation is like. It's what's called stop-motion claymation. I assume that's what Duncan Hines was using. But for you to say that, and Gumby was actually it was a cartoon when I was a kid, and it was a little clay guy, and he had a clay horse, and, you know, it was kind of weird. I don't know why. To be honest with you, I don't know why it was fascinating to kids to watch, but I watched it. But for you to say, Dr. Tarner, that Gumby was a slaveholder, that Gumby's horse, Pokey, was trained to, you know, walk over. I mean, what is that about?
I'm sorry if the truth hurts.
What do you mean the truth hurts? And the fact that Gumby had little clay men swinging from trees? So in other words, what you want to do is every single thing that gives us joy, it can be cake mix, it can be a clay puppet, it's all out of the same racial cesspool. Is that it?
Mr. Henry, you know, from your lips to God's ears.
He hung up. I think he needs help. I thank you very much, Catherine. 877-876 Phil. Catherine's stunned. She's not saying anything. Catherine, see, she's not saying anything. She's stunned.
She's not staying. You sound like you're having an epileptic fit.
877-876 Phil, the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
This is the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Gumby was an inveterate institutional racist.
Phil Hendry.
Hello, Dr. Green Thumb. Paging Dr. Green Thumb.
Let's go to a Dr. Green Thumb report here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show for tonight, Friday, December whatever. Two accused of breaking into a police station for the marijuana. Dateline St. Louis. Police say they caught two men early Tuesday breaking into the police department to get marijuana. Good place to get it. It was marijuana, police said, that one of them had stashed in his pickup truck, which was impounded at the station. Police Chief Mike DiNardo said on Tuesday they aren't the smartest people in the world. Well, that's what our Dr. Green Thumb report is about. All these jackballs that are, you know, all these jackasses that are getting arrested and will keep the weed from being legal forever. It also started when police entered Kyle Blaine Core 19 of Baltic Street in Waveland on Monday morning, charging him with burglary of a house and impounding his truck. He was booked and released on bond. During the day, on Monday, the investigating officer became suspicious when Core kept trying to get his truck back, demanding to know when he would be able to get it. The officer told his supervisor Core might try to steal the vehicle back, destroy it, or otherwise tamper with evidence. The department decided to place the truck under surveillance on Monday night as it sat inside a garage. Sure enough, this dumbass, Core, and Jeffrey Chase Phillips, age 19, of Webster Street in Bay, St. Louis, broke into the garage through a steel side door. He went immediately to his truck and began removing bags of marijuana from one of the side panels. The two were apprehended within seconds. Core had been charged with burglary, tampering with evidence, and possession of a controlled substance with intent to sell or deliver. Phillips has been charged with burglary. How stupid are you, man? You're burglarizing houses with a truck that has weed stashed in the panel. You you deserve the death penalty just so you don't breathe. Border Patrol agents discover pot in hay bale. Border Patrol agents from the Rio Grande City of La Grula, Texas, say they encountered an unusual method of marijuana concealment this week. The pot was tucked inside a hay bale. Agents following foot tracks from the Rio Grande River on Thursday discovered a large hay bale that appeared to be out of place. Hey, wait a minute, that hay bale. Looking closer, they found more than 30 pounds of marijuana glued upon a layer of the bale. Wow. Officials say the bale was apparently abandoned by smugglers as agents approached. The marijuana, valued at more than $26,000, was turned over to the U.S. Drug Enforcement Administration for further investigation. German police find pot plant adorned as a Christmas tree. Berlin. German police say an old hippie is facing possible prosecution for his version of the highest Christmas tree, a festival-decorated 2-meter, 2-yard-tall marijuana plant. Adolf Hitler was arrested, and I'm just kidding. Koblenz police spokesman Ralf Schmoyisch says officers raided the apartment of the 58-year-old man following a tip on Monday and uncovered a cache of 5.3 ounces of weed. Then, in the living room, they discovered the tree, a pot plant adorned with Christmas lights. The suspect, whose name was not released, said he had planned to decorate it further and put presents under it and stuff like that. He says, well, yeah, plan, you know, I was thinking, you know, maybe later on I'd take it and I don't know.
Hello, Dr. Green Thumb. Paging Dr. Green Thumb.
Police, marijuana operation in a 4-year-old kid's bedroom. Of all the... In Arab Al, is this a town? Arab police blasted an indoor marijuana operation Thursday, and they say part of it was in a 4-year-old's bedroom, the little punk. Scotty Watson with the Arab Narcotics Unit says officers arrested 29-year-old Christopher Hawkins during a traffic stop. What the hell is Arab, man? Is that Arab Alabama? Oh, my God. I didn't know what the hell are they talking about. Arab Al, it's a town. Watson say they went into Hawkins. I'm saying Scotty Watson and the cats from... Saudi Arabia? Anyway, Watson says they went to Hawkins' home where his wife consented to a search of the house. Inside, Watson says they found an elaborate indoor growing operation. You betcha. The operation included a water filtration system, lights, and, of course, the ever-grow tent used to help reflect the light onto the plants. Watson says Hawkins was using his 4-year-old son's bedroom to dry out the weed. Watson also says the home reeked of marijuana. They found a little more than a pound of pot with more being grown. Hawkins is in the Arab City Jail. The case will be turned over to the Marshall County Department of Human Resources to investigate the living conditions of the child, and the kid will be sent back to Saudi Arabia. Connecticut man charged with accepting wrapped pot. Aha! New Haven, Connecticut, despite a generous gift from Santa, police in New Haven say a local man has been naughty this Christmas. That's right, police arrested 29-year-old Julio Ramos this week after he allegedly accepted delivery of 110 pounds of marijuana in 10 boxes wrapped like Christmas presents, complete with bows and tags that read, "To Jesse from Santa." Uh-huh. Ramos was granted a $100,000 bail in a court appearance on Thursday on charges of possession of over 1 kilogram of the weed, possession with intent to sell, and possession with 1,500 feet of a school. Bastard. Police say they were tipped off to the delivery, and they arrested Ramos at his grandfather's home in New Haven, Connecticut. The self-employed musician lives in Guilford. See, there you go. You freaking pot-smoking musicians. The marijuana had been shipped from California. Uh-huh. Ramos's lawyer said that his client didn't do it, and the poor guy, and please let him go, and he's under the influence of evil friends. World-famous Phil Henry Show. There's our Dr. Green Thumb for tonight. Coming up next hour, it's our News Hour with Bud Dickman and Robert Leonard. Stick around for that. Or not.
Look, I never told you where I was from. Some call me Reverend, I'm Dr. Green.
Phil Henry. Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Henry.
So hundreds of students streaming down the hallway. I pulled my students back
in. Definitely a sign of the times and disappointing both.
I think it's kind of crude. I think it's basically an inhumane
to when I got up to the door, she opened the door and she's like, this took forever.
I don't know, it's like a typical teenager smoking pot.
Basket from a basket!
World famous. famous Phil Henry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. A news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, where truth is our bitch and where we go beyond, well beyond the normal limits. Places where their talk shows wish they could go, but they can't. High schoolers riot in New York City after someone pulls their bathroom privileges. Boca Raton is under fire from a Christian group for not decorating with a manger scene. Boca Raton, Florida. Plus, we'll tell you, 10 careers with high rates of depression. PhilHendryShow.com, and tomorrow night we will have a video cast of our local KFI Los Angeles show for you. So if you are a Backstage Pass member, you can watch our video cast, as you can watch our video cast every night of the show, but tomorrow night, since we are on locally in Los Angeles only on KFI, you can check it out on our video cast as well. 877-876-PHIL. I got Robert Leonard and Bud Dickman in the room. You guys wanted me to do this depression story, huh?
Yeah, I just want to, I know that kind of career that people suffer from depression, you know.
Yeah. Didn't you say that depression's like a chemical?
Some people have a biochemical depression, yes.
So if that's true, then it doesn't matter what job you got.
No, it doesn't. I mean, you could be depressed. If you were biochemically depressed, what they used to call endogenous depression, you could do any job. You could be any kind of person. You could be you could be depressed even though you have $50 million in the bank. You don't have to go to a job. You have a swimming pool, at, you know, like you got 50 acres, at, like you're Hugh Hefner, man, you know?
Wait a minute. How's that possible?
What do you mean, how's that possible?
How can you be depressed if you're Hugh Hefner?
If you're Hugh Hefner, well, it's about, if you were a cat that had everything in this world, you could still be depressed because the chemical, the chemistry is unbalanced in your head. It's very common, and it is now being treated with medication. And we didn't know what caused it back in the day. We thought that, and poor people who suffered from that disease, sometimes they were subjected to electroshock, all kinds of things, you know.
Well, so, but I mean, if you work at a nursing home, are you going to get chemically depressed being around old people?
I don't know, man. I will tell you this. Girls, and this is a very kind of messed up topic, but girls that are molested as, you know, young women, women that are molested as girls, develop depression. They develop a chemical depression. In other words, the chemistry of the brain can be altered and changed by traumatic episodes like that. So I'll tell you one other thing. What was it, Jason, you guys were telling me? This was really freaky. Women who have little girl voices. Who was that? Was that Dr. Drew? Women that have these little girl voices. You ever heard of the little tiny girl voices that some women have? It's, what did Dr. Drew say? Little girl voices means they were molested by their fathers.
Uh-oh.
You know somebody like that?
Well,
yeah, I think I do, yeah.
Well, just, you know, so if you hear a girl or a father figure, so if you hear women, grown women, who have these, hi, me, 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 and that kind of thing, they were molested by a father figure.
Man, that's sad.
Well, anyway, well, thanks a lot for bringing all this stuff up. Man, what, I'm bumming people out here, man? I'm trying to get to the story here. As if, why am I leading with this anyway?
You don't lead about it, man. I want to do it.
As if the holiday season were not depressing enough. God, can't we lead with something happy?
I want to hear about it.
As if the holiday season were not depressing enough for some of us, along comes a new study by Health Magazine that suggests we might also have chosen a career with a high rate of depression. Here are 10 fields out of 21 major job categories in which full-time workers are most likely to report an episode of major depression in a given year. But if you want to be a nurse, number 4, it doesn't mean you should pick another profession. There are certain aspects of any job that can contribute to or exacerbate depression, says Dr. Deborah Legge, or Leggy, or Legs, a license they call her Legs.
Do they?
No, I'm being a smartass. Her name is Dr. Deborah Legge or something. She's a licensed mental health counselor in Buffalo, New York. Folks with high-stress jobs have a greater chance of managing it if they take care of themselves and get the help they need and smoke big, big, fat joints before they go to work. Number 1.
You're kidding.
Do you think I'm kidding?
Yeah, I knew you were kidding.
Okay. Number 1, nursing home care. Personal care providers top the list with nearly 11% of people in this field reporting a bout of major depression. Well, no kidding.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's standard reason.
But what? Is there a reason you're yelling in my ear tonight, you know?
I don't know.
Get off of my ear, man. Yeah, it stands to reason.
I just want to make sure you can hear me.
God. So anyway, nursing care home providers, these guys suffer from depression because I guess they're around people that, you know, I mean, if a cat needs nursing at his own home, things ain't doing too boogie-woogie with that person, do you think?
I don't think so, man. A lot of time, I like what you call a hospice care, too, you know?
What's that?
When somebody is dying and they come home to their house.
Yeah, the hospice care is for people who are terminally ill, and you just try to make their lives a little bit better. A typical day can include, now this is what a person in a nursing home, no wonder they're going to be bummed out. A typical day includes feeding, bathing, and caring for others who are incapable of expressing gratitude or appreciation because they're too ill or too young, or they just aren't in the habit of it, says Christopher. Is that why they're depressed? Because nobody's saying thanks? Or maybe they're depressed because they're looking at someone who's on death's door? God.
I think they're being depressed because the guy's going to die.
Well, no kidding. Yeah, it's really depressing because nobody says thanks. Number two, food service, ranking just below professional care workers because these people not only have to serve it, they got to eat some of their own cooking. Anyway, number two, food service, ranking just below professional care workers are the people who are serving the food at your favorite local digs. Wait staff often get low pay and can have exhausting jobs with numerous people telling them what to do each day, not to mention the insufferable asses that they have to serve as customers. While 10% of workers in general reported an episode of major depression in the past year, almost 15% of women in this field did so. This is often a very thankless job, Leje says. People can really be rude, and there's a lot of physical exertion. When people are depressed, it's hard to have energy and motivation when you have to be on. You know, I never did figure out why it is some people like being waiters.
I'll tell you why they like it, man, because the tips are good.
Yeah, I knew a girl one time. She made a lot of money, almost like $100,000 a year on the tips alone.
Boy, that's a lot of bread.
Sure is.
If you're a cocktail waitress, maybe. What are you talking about?
No, she isn't like a cocktail waitress, but a guy. What about a guy that's a waiter in like Ruth's Chris or something like that?
I bet you those cats bring it in. No question about it.
Yeah, it's a really good place.
I wonder what the guys at Ted's of Beverly Hills make.
Those guys are probably living in cardboard boxes.
Don't tell Ted, man. He'll call up. Number three, social work. It's probably not a huge surprise to find social workers nearly top this list, dealing with abused children or families on the brink of every imaginable crisis combined with bureaucratic red tape can make for a demanding, stressful job that's 24/7. No kidding. When you think of some of the jobs that people do, and we always answer with the same sort of smart ass, well, you know, if they didn't want to do the job the way they're doing it, why don't they give it to somebody else to do the job? Well, it's true. It is true. But fact is, we'd be flat out of luck if we didn't have people like this. There can be a culture that says that to do a good job, you have to work really hard and often make sacrifices, Willard says, because social workers work with people who are so needy, it can be hard to not sacrifice too much to the job. I see that happen a lot with social workers and other caring professions, and they get really burned out pretty quickly. Number four.
But what do they do as social worker and stuff?
Social workers are, you know, if there's a family that's in big trouble, like, there's no money coming in. They're on welfare. They're trying to get off. You know, the kids are in trouble. The mother can't work and she has too many. Families that are in dire need, social workers can step in. I mean, we have that in our society. You know, we have people who will do that. But I don't know how effective it is, man.
It ain't no good at all, man. I see it. It doesn't work at all.
Doesn't work at all?
No.
How do you know?
Because I've never seen it work. Where I grew up, I saw a lot of those people. Never worked. Ever.
Well, there's got to be some success story.
Not what I know.
All right, number four is healthcare. This includes doctors, nurses, therapists, and other professions that attract people who might end up giving a lot without saving a little for themselves. Healthcare workers can have long, irregular hours and days in which other people's lives are literally in their hands. Never mind the fact that doctors make all kinds of money, all kinds of bank, and those cats are, I mean, they're, oh, yeah. But it's really hard. Okay.
It is hard.
Well, I can't. Nurses, yes. Therapists, yes. Doctors,
I don't know, man. It's hard. Let's just start getting, because we're starting to drift into an area here where there's a little bit of bread involved. You know, in other words, the payoff can be really good. See, if you're a social worker, what's the most money you're ever going to make? If you're a teacher, what's the most bread you're ever going to make? These jobs that we're talking about, they don't exactly come with a big, you know, potential for salary. Now we're getting into, doctors. So I ain't going to feel that bad. All right, 877-876-PHIL, world-famous Phil Hendry Show here every night until 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. An honor student faces expulsion for leaving a rifle in her car at school, plus a riot over bathroom privileges. PhilHendryShow.com, the online home of the Phil Hendry Show. Visit BSP.
Phil Hendry. You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
All right, welcome back here. Now, you know, I don't have a, you know, I can go either way on a lot of different issues, but I don't think there's any, and you know me, there's no gray area when it comes to kids and the law, children. Now, I'm a big supporter of gun rights. I believe everybody ought to have a gun. I believe every home should have a gun. I believe everyone should be conversant with the topic of guns and should be trained in the use of a gun. Why? Oh, I don't know. It's in the Constitution. But here's a thing that I draw the line at, and that's punk kids with guns. Punk kid. Now, what do I mean by punk kid? I don't mean to offend, but I have to be very clear. There's a majority age. It's called 18. At 18, well, guess what? You're an adult. Mom and dad can no longer be sued for what you do. Other adults cannot come to your rescue and take the rap for you. When you're an adult, you're an adult. When you're a kid, you're protected. I'll give an example. In Montana, in Columbia Falls, Montana, some kid comes to school. Okay, she's got her unloaded hunting rifle in the trunk of her car. She likes to hunt. Good for her. Well, that's a violation of federal law. Violation of not only federal law, it's a violation of state law. Not supposed to have the gun on the campus. Well, everyone flipped out and said she's such a great student and she's such a sweet kid and this and that and a whole bunch of other baloney. And oh my goodness gracious, why would they suspend her? Well, here's why they're going to suspend her, okay? They're not going to expel her. They're everybody's jumping up and down, man, like it's Lord of the Flies. And, you know, they just got piggy. They're all jumping up and down with their shirts off and their hair mussed, going, oh, my God, they're going to expel. They're not going to expel her. But they are going to teach her a lesson. Federal law. You're a kid. See, we got a disease now in this country, man. It's almost as bad as cancer. It's the following disease. Well, I know my daughter or my son is a kid, but their constitutional rights extend through me, and I think they should have the right to slander and to defame and to threaten and to act like a slob because I never had that right when I was a kid, and I'm living through my kids. Thank you. I'm the jackass adult raising them. That's the problem we got now. You know that, right? Just yesterday, what did I read to you?
What about that Brave New World, eh?
Yeah, that woman that wanted to ban Brave New World. Why is that? Well, because she ain't all that bright. And it seems to her that the book is... Seems to me that this thing called the Bible... So the kid comes to school, she's got a gun, and they said, well, you don't get to have the gun. Do you understand? Well, yes, but I'm an honor student. We don't care if you're an honor student. I don't care if you're an honor student. You're not allowed to have the gun. It's a violation of federal law. Yeah, but she's a cheerleader. What are we talking to ourselves over here? I know she's a cheerleader. The good news for the kid is that even though it's a violation of federal and state law, nobody's going to hang her out to dry for it. No one's going to expel her. They're making my Fox National. What the hell is this? Fox Montana or whatever this jive ass news agency is named. They want to make they go. They're going to get people to read this thing. So she could face expulsion. She's not going to get expelled. The superintendent of the school, a guy by the name of Mike Nicosia, said, no, the whole thing's been blown out of proportion. She's not going to get expelled. Yes, we're going to, debate the child's punishment. The father, in this case, sounds like a fairly sensible guy. He had no comment when they asked him about the specifics of the issue. He basically told him, why don't you drop dead and let the school handle it? Which is what most parents should do. Her supporters were going to descend Monday onto the school district. There is a federal gun-free school act. And the school could lose funds if they do not enforce these bans. State criminal law also prevents weapons from being brought onto schools. And there's a reason for this. Do you know what the reason is?
Yeah, because the people that got shot.
There's a lot of people bringing guns, like gang.
Really? You think it's gangs, huh? Let me tell you where it all started. A long time ago, man. Way back. There were people walking onto school campuses with guns, mowing down kids for no reason. We had psychos shooting people for no reason for a long time ago, man. Long time ago. So, you know, people say, well, let's use our common sense. I believe it's common sense for a kid of 16 to do what he or she is told by a reasonable and responsible society, which I do believe America is. Now, some people may disagree, but they can, you know, go stick it sideways as far as I'm concerned. I think that a kid does what a kid's supposed to do, and that's, you know, it sucks, and I know being a teenager is like, you know, really a drag, and it's terribly ungroovy or whatever, but, you know, 18, man, it comes real soon. And you'd be surprised. And it will have all of the beautiful things that that life seems to offer adults. You, too, will be able to share in that marvelousness that is adulthood. But until then, tough. Don't take your gun to school. You don't, you know, this, that. And making a national issue out of this stuff really pisses me off. Because what it does is it undermines the school. And it undermines the authority there, you know.
Yeah, but they said that that girl, Hunk Elk, what she do? She hunt elk and deer? And she's pretty good at it, too.
They said that she, you know, makes deer sausage and stuff.
I don't care if she makes deer sausage. I'm sure she's fantastic.
Yeah, the dad said, though, she never got an elk.
The dad said she never got an elk. Well, what does that mean?
Well, maybe she had the gun in case she seen one.
What do you mean if she, I don't understand that.
If she had a gun in the car, she bring it back to school, right? What if she spots an elk?
What if she spots an elk where? In the school?
Well, if she saw an elk on the parking lot, on the grounds, say walking up to the parking lot.
You're not going to open up on an elk, man, walking through the school parking lot. It ain't going to happen.
Why not?
It's not going to happen, man. You're going to get arrested. And by the way, you heard what I said. No guns on school ground. So you're trying to tell me that she pulls in, parks her car, unlocks the trunk, pulls out her gun, and starts blasting away at an elk in the parking lot of the school because what?
Her dad said she never did get an elk, and well, I got one.
Well, she might not have never done did get an elk, bud, but she still can't get an elk in the school parking lot.
All right, that's it right there. Where does it say you can't get a...
Look at Robert. You can't have guns on the school ground, man.
I know that, but it doesn't say you can't bag an elk.
It doesn't have to say you can't bag an elk on school grounds if it says you can't have guns.
What about bow and arrow?
Yeah, okay, right there. That's good. What about a bow and arrow?
You can't have a bow and arrow either, man. I remember.
Yeah, see, we got him. You don't even know that.
No, I do know that. I saw a story. Both of you guys are really screwy. I saw a story where they had a kid had a crossbow in his car and they pulled it out of there. And I, you know, you really got to be in serious need of a doctor if you think that when she pulls into the school parking lot, she sees an elk just strolling across the parking lot. And it's a good thing she's got that gun in the trunk of her car. Oh, by the way, a little problem here.
What?
It wasn't loaded.
Yeah, well, all the more reason why, what do you care about it?
The only reason I care about it, Bud, is the law, and the law says you can't have the gun loaded or unloaded, okay? So if she had it loaded and she pulled it out and she shot the elk, she'd have a elk and she'd be under arrest. So.
Yeah, well, then they just give it back to the cops. They can carve it up and have a state.
they give the elk to the cops. Well, that's great. I'm sure she'd really want that to happen. Boy, what a dumb conversation. 877-876-PHIL. It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Why does a Christian group in Boca Raton get upset with the town? Well, I'll tell you why. And Donald Trump's apprentice bombed last night. Let's find out why.
Phil Hendry.
TV ratings here, and Bud, you were going to get me some Hollywood music, right?
Yeah, well, this is good for the TV rating music.
Because I wanted to have some music that is going to give us a sense of the festival. What is this, man?
I thought it's from Alien.
Will you get out of here with Alien? Why?
That's about one of the best movies ever made.
It ain't got nothing to do with me reading TV ratings. Alien. Get something that is... If you do this again, because I know what you do, man. You do this on purpose.
No, I swear to God. You said you wanted a Hollywood build-up. I think that build's pretty good. Look right here. In space, no one can
get it. Will you get out of here with Alien? TV ratings, Oprah, Barbara Walters boost ABC Thursday, but CBS still wins. I don't know how many consecutive nights we've been reading to you about CBS kicking ass. 8 o'clock, CBS's Big Bang Theory, 12.1 million viewers, followed by Crap My Dad Says, 9.5 million viewers. Beautiful thing. Sure, it didn't hold the whole 12 million, but that's very healthy because it still beats Fox's Bones at 8.8 million, ABC Special Shrek the Hall, 6.9, Disney Prep and Landing, 7.5, NBC Community and 30 Rock, They Suck, 4.7 million and 5.2, and the CW with the Vampire Diaries cleaning up the rear, 3.1 million. So CBS kills, man. Then comes 9 o'clock. Now, for the first time, I think in a long time, ABC wins an hour from CBS. Here it is, Barbara Walters special, Oprah the Next Chapter, or Am You a Dyke? 13. I'm kidding, okay.
Come on, man.
All right, I'm kidding. Oprah the Next Chapter. They had 13 million viewers for the Oprah thing. They just barely beat CBS. They beat CBS by 100,000 people. I mean, it was a tie. CBS CSI 13.14. NBC followed with 7.6. So CBS and ABC doubled, basically. NBC's The Office, Fox Fringe 5.3, and Nikita on CW 2.3. And in the final hour of the night, CBS once again, with 13.5 million viewers, wins. Barbara Walters presents the 10 most fascinating people of 2010, 12 million. And The Apprentice, Donald Trump's The Apprentice bombed like you, it stunk the joint out with 4.5 million. And the theory being that when they had the celebrity apprentices, who did they have last year?
Yeah, they had like Joan Rivers and everything. She told that one girl go to hell and everything. I thought it was bitching.
What are you talking about, man?
Didn't they have Joan Rivers?
They had Sharon Osbourne. Did they have Joan Rivers, Jace? They had Piers Morgan. They had, they had Joan Rivers. Joan Rivers got into it with somebody. I forget. So that was, you're right. Yeah.
Well, that's the whole thing. I mean, they got to go back and have that on account of the real people suck. And obviously Donald Trump, no one care about him.
Yeah, ain't nobody tuning in for Donald Trump.
Well, I mean, I like Donald Trump, and you're right. I'm not going to tune in just to watch him. So I guess they're going to have to retool that, baby. So there's the ratings from last night. Now, here's the story we've been telling you about. A bathroom ban leads to a riot at a New York City high school. Well, no kidding. Get a load of this, ladies and gentlemen. Now, here's a school. It was a very hectic scene inside the Murray Bergtraum High School yesterday with hundreds of kids running through the hallways and stairwells. The teachers and the students say that the disturbance broke out after the principal, Andrea Lewis, announced over the loudspeaker that bathrooms would be closed and that bathroom passes would not be distributed for the rest of the day. Why? Because there had been a fight between two students in the morning. Now, between periods, students began rioting through the school. I don't know what that means, rioting. Were they overturning? Yeah, I mean, was there property damage? I don't know. But anyway, according to New York One TV, they began, quote, rioting through the school, screaming in protest. It was all over by the time police reinforcements arrived. Students say the word about the protest was spread by text messaging, even though cell phones are not permitted in school.
So much for that.
Some students say they were trying to send the principal a message. Here is, or here are, or here am, students talking to CBS 2 and New York One TV in New York about the riot.
They just want the principal to know that you can't take the bathroom away from us. That's what it was.
Don't mess with us or we'll mess with you, pretty much.
It was pretty scary to the point where it was a lot of people that got, you know, into it.
She closed all the bathrooms.
It's punishment.
You can say that.
But she did say if it's an emergency, you can use the bathroom. At the nurse's office, everybody got mad and started a riot.
Does she do that often, like close the bathroom?
No, it was the first time because I guess she was really upset.
Here's a teacher telling New York One TV what he witnessed.
I saw hundreds of students streaming down the hallway. I pulled my students back in the room. The teacher ran into my room, scared for her life. She was very upset. And, you know, and then, you know, things continued out of control for a while.
Good Lord. Now, you heard what one of those students said. Well, if it's an emergency, you can use the bathroom and the nurse. Well, it's of an emergency. What are you talking about? If the kid's got to go to the bathroom, the kid's got to go to the bathroom. We know that girls, there is no way, when a girl needs to go, she's got to go. So that's an emergency. They just wanted the principal to know that you can't take the bathroom. I heard that one kid, you can't take the bathroom away from us. Lewis was brought into, now this teacher, this principal Lewis, was brought into Murray Bergtraum this year as an executive principal, is what they call her, with a salary bump. For some reason, New York One TV thinks this is significant. A salary bump of $25,000 based on what was her salary coming in? $25,000? To turn things around at the struggling school, while she would not comment on Friday, United Federation of Teachers President Michael Mulgrew visited the school and met with Lewis, teachers, and Department of Education representatives. He called both the principal and students' actions inappropriate. We have to make sure this behavior doesn't happen, said Mulgrew, but more importantly, you have to make sure the school has a culture that is open to learning and it's safe. Well, that's true. The principals' union released a statement saying that it's looking to see what type of assistance the DOE has provided the school in terms of support and security in order to understand and assess the situation. Oh, for God's sake. Number one, you know, don't close the damn bathroom. What kind of a decision was that?
Yeah, there's going to be kids, like, peeing on the hall and everything like that.
Yeah, you'd probably like to see that.
Oh, look, man.
No, she's insane.
Yeah, but the reason why you bring it up is you just think it's funny.
Well, who cares why he's bringing it up? The fact is, that's a stupid thing to do. Now, the kids have got to be disciplined. There's no question about it. What has closing the bathrooms got to do with anything? And I, you know, respectfully defer to the principal. She knows her school better than I do. Maybe they're smoking dope in there. Maybe they're smoking big, fat joints in there. I don't know what's going on in there, but it's a bathroom's a bathroom. It's a hygiene and a health issue. The school's out of control, sounds like it to me. And the teacher's trying to whip these kids into shape, and it sounds like they need it. That one kid with his big fat mouth, don't mess with us or we'll mess with you. Hey, kid, you know, don't even think about it. So she obviously has got to get these kids straightened out, but closing the bathroom, what the hell are you doing? All right, so now they got to get DOE involved, and they're going to have to, who knows, man. You know, the next thing you know, I saw this Jimmy Hoffa thing today on TV. Do you know that the Teamsters Union is run with the oversight of the federal government now? The Teamsters Union was apparently, allegedly, or still is, so corrupt and was so filled with just, you know, gangsterism and rife with all kinds of sifting, you know, taking money off the top, skimming is what they call it, et cetera, that the... And then we have Boca Raton, and, you know, with all of the problems we have with our schools, here we got these people going ape crap because they don't have a manger scene underneath their Christmas tree in Boca Raton, Florida. They're upset because I'm going to defer to what I said, or not defer, refer to what I said last night. You Christians are doing it all wrong, man. You're doing it all wrong. And I'm going to tell you how to do it. Now, you know that I'm not necessarily Christian, but I am so sick and tired of listening to so-called atheists or people that believe in the separation of church and state, which is fine. I believe in that, too. But I also believe in culture. I believe in tradition. I think a Christmas tree is not religious. It's a traditional and a cultural expression of a people. While, you know, it may have its roots in religion, there's no question about it. I don't think that it is of the kind of religious indoctrination that atheists need to fear. However, let me just say this. You cats down in Boca Raton where you don't have your manger scene and all of this jazz, and you shove the manger scene under there and all of this, that's all fine and dandy, you know. But I'm telling you that what you ought to do is file a lawsuit against any municipality that says we're going to have a holiday celebration and that's it. We're going to have a holiday celebration and we're not going to have any Christmas. We're not going to have any Hanukkah. We're going to have a holiday celebration. Because when you sue, you say this: what do you mean by a holiday celebration? Well, what do you mean? You're asking me. Yeah, I'm asking you. I don't understand. Well, we're not going to have a Christmas tree. No, I know you're not going to have that. I understand. You don't want to have that. You don't want to have a manger scene. No manger scene. So what are you going to have? Well, we'll have the holiday. And what do you mean by a holiday, man? What holiday? You can do it, Joe Pesci. What holiday? What the hell kind of holiday are you going to do? You know? And they'll say, a holiday. Oh, well, I thought you didn't want to have anything religious. Well, we don't want to. Well, then why are you having cookie exchanges and holidays when you don't want to? Because this is what? The winter solstice? Why are you even having a holiday celebration? If it's not religious, why is there such a thing as a holiday celebration? Celebrating what, man? Based on what? So you can hang them up real good because you can say basically what you want us to do is have a pagan celebration. But you guys don't want to do that. You want to keep shoving mangers down everybody's throats. Fine. So we'll find out what happens. It's called Christmas Decorations. Here's the story from Boca Raton. Pastor Mark Boykin spoke with WPBF television saying he's upset the city will erect a Christmas tree and menorah, but not a manger scene.
We feel like we have been marginalized. And we feel like that they have not given any credibility to the Christian faith. A manger or a creche is venerated around the world. It's an icon to most people. Whether they're in Bethlehem or in Boca Raton, everyone sees that as a sacred symbol. We have determined that we are not going to be put off. We're not going to be ignored. We're not going to be marginalized. We're going to seek an answer.
And then you have this kind of marginalized, like this guy's some racial group that's being discriminated against. And that is that makes me want to vomit, almost vomit blood. Why are we playing Alien?
I thought it would go good.
Turn off Alien. 877-876-PHIL. The NTSB would like you to buckle your infants while in flights. How about that? Did you ever think about that when you're flying with an infant? Did you ever think about tying them, you know, buckling them in or what?
I thought you could just, like, I don't know, just hold on to them.
Yeah.
No, you can't just hold on to them. You got to buckle them in, man. And Billboard magazine names 2010's Artist of the Year. Who is it? Who do you think? 877-876-PHIL, philhenryshow.com, KFI tomorrow night on our videocast at 7.
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Trying to find out what happened to Kat Stacks. We don't know what happened to Kat Stacks because Bobby Dooley, I know, follows her.
I got to find out if Bobby Dooley's still getting anything from her.
Bobby Dooley actually is able to follow Kat Stacks because Kat Stacks closed off her following. You got to apply to follow her now.
Well, she was in a federal prison or something.
No, she wasn't, man. It was immigration.
She's running around with a Venezuelan, and for those of you who don't know who Kat Stacks is, Kat Stacks is very interesting. She's nuts, man. This chick is looking to get, she's looking to get killed, if you want my honest opinion. I mean, what she does is basically sleeps with all these hip-hop artists, snorts coke with them, films herself doing it, then puts all this stuff out on the internet, and I guess she thinks these guys aren't going to be pissed off at her. So then she gets her phone hacked half the time.
Well, I heard Soldier Boy was in love with her.
I heard Soldier Boy was in love with her, and then she comes on and says, "Oh, it's bullcrap. Somebody hacked my phone." She's very interesting. She was, I guess, a prostitute who left that life and became a party hostess. She's repped out of Miami. She was on her way to a club gig. She was in the middle of a club tour, and she gets popped in Nashville on immigration. She's got a Venezuelan passport. And this has been over a month now, man, and she's been inside this. They keep saying some bull crap. You look at, I don't know, you know, I know that she wants to sell this image of herself as having a legal team. She hasn't got a legal team. There's some jive-ass group that reps her out of Miami. I don't know what these clowns do for a living. And they, oh, well, you know, our lawyers are on it. You guys got a lawyer? Or, you know, just picking somebody out of the yellow pages, man, doesn't qualify. 877-876-PHIL. All right, it is time now for the Billboard thing. Well, this was the year everyone went gaga for Lady Gaga. The shape-shifting pop star takes home Billboard's Top Artist of the Year honors just a year after she earned Top New Artist applause. Oh, is that Fernando by the...
Yeah, that's a song by ABBA.
Last time an act made a move from new to top faster was in 2006 when Chris Brown snared both titles concurrently. Before that, the last woman to graduate nearly as fast was Whitney Houston, who was was Billboard's Top New Artist of 1985 and then became the top artist. Bang, yeah. And Kesha got the Top New Act honor.
Wake up in the morning feeling like P. Diddy.
Hey, what up, girl?
Grab my glasses, I'm out the door. I'm gonna hit this city before I leave.
That's enough. So she, where's the Kesha, man? Where's her, or did we just Kesha her goodbye? Where's she at, man? There ain't nothing in this story about Kesha. Anyway, Billboard's year-end music recaps are based on the chart performance, yada, 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 a bunch of horse dung. Since Billboard created the top overall artist category with the year-end recaps, only seven. Oh, what a worthless. Get me a story I can read, man. There ain't a thing in here about Kesha or whatever the hell. Oh, here we go. Two steps behind Kesha. Let's listen.
Wake up in the morning feeling like P. Diddy.
Hey, whatever, Jeff.
Feeling like P. Diddy, you. All right. Other stories that we've got for you here this evening on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Where is it all? Miley Cyrus was apparently photographed, or a video was taken of this kid, and she was hitting on a bong, and in the bong was this herb called salvia. Now, it's legal in the state of California, and I haven't smoked it, only because I'm not... it's been a long, 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 long time for me since I've done anything like that since my youth. And I don't like the effects of marijuana. I don't. And I never have. And it's kind of counter to my personality. It just so happens the drug that I like and that is actually something that, you know, I can enjoy is legal, alcohol. Now, this stuff, salvia, is legal, too. But apparently it's quasi-psychotropic. There's a little bit of a... You know, sparkly, I don't know.
Yeah, like a kind of a multicolor.
Yeah, a little bit of kind of little people, you know.
Yeah, and they show.
What are you guys talking about, little people? You're talking about what? Is it you're hallucinating?
Well, no, not you're not hallucinating or anything.
Yeah, but you do, like a little man will come out.
A little man will come out. Get out of here. Home video of singer Miley Cyrus using a bong apparently to smoke the hallucinogenic herb salvia hit the internet on Friday, capping a year which has seen the teen star throw aside her squeaky clean Disney image. The video, obtained by celebrity website TMZ.com, was said to have been shot days after Cyrus turned 18 years old in November. What are you going to do? This kid, at least, is not in and out of rehab. And she hasn't got that pain-in-the-ass father, that Lohan. What she's got is Billy Ray. Billy Ray probably just doesn't bother her. PopEater.com asks passerby in New York to react to the video of Miley Cyrus allegedly smoking salvia out of a bong. Boy, you talk about meaningful discourse.
I don't know. It's like a typical teenager smoking pot.
I think that's just a bad influence on little kids. She's got some pretty dumb friends for letting them record that.
I don't really care.
Well, I hope she doesn't turn into Lindsay Lohan.
It's legal. A lot of people do it, whatever, but still, she's an icon for little girls, and it's letting little girls think that they could do that, and it's fine just because it's legal.
She should not be doing that, for her, especially since she portrays herself to younger kids. It's just not good for her.
For like a Disney idol or something like that, probably not the best thing.
She's being a typical teenager.
She could do whatever she wants to do, but it does make her look like an idiot.
Why did we buy Alaska in the 1950s?
I don't know. It's like a typical teenager smoking pot.
I think that's just a bad influence on little kids. She's got some pretty dumb friends.
All right. Thank you. World famous Phil Henry Show produced by Jason Rantz. Technical director is Charles Wagon. And our associate producer is Dan Northcraft. IR Phil Henry. Join us at philhenryshow.com tomorrow night for our live video cast of our local KFI Los Angeles show, KFI AM 640. And, of course, Monday through Friday, KTLK is our L.A. Flagship. But we've got a lot of great stations. Oh, a lot of them.
Phil Henry.